The Gospel according to St. Mark, chapter 1, verses 29 through 39. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told him about her at once. Jesus came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve them. That evening at sunset, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. And the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. In the morning, while it was still very dark, he got up and went out to a deserted place, and there he prayed. And Simon and his companions hunted for him. When they found him, they said to him, "Everyone is searching for you." He answered, "Let us go on to the neighboring town so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do." And he went throughout Galilee, proclaiming the message in their synagogues and casting out demons. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we need your presence here today. We need you to cure our sick. We need you to make us strong. We need you to give us a vision for our future. Be with us, O Lord, this day we pray. Amen. What's the name of that game that's going on this afternoon? Super Bowl. Was that it? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not been told from the beginning? The Lord God creates the heavens and the earth. I love those words by the prophet Isaiah. They sound so prophetic, right? It's the way a prophet is supposed to sound, right? I mean, he could have said, what's the matter with you guys, right? Wake up! What's the matter? But that would not have been befitting words for the highest of the high, words with little motivational power. Speaking of Bill Belichick, I imagine in the locker room today he'll raise his voice a little above that monotone that he uses at the press conferences, right? Matt Light misses a block. You think he'll raise his voice a little bit? Or one of those defensive backs? Any one of those defensive backs. All those defensive backs. If somebody goes streaking to the goal line unabated, I think Bill will raise his voice a little bit, don't you? He'll let him know what he's thinking. When people are passionate about what they believe and what they do, about their hopes, you can tell that that's the case. God's prophet Isaiah was passionate about the Lord God, and he let people know of his enthusiasm. Our own John Wesley, remember John Wesley? Mm-hmm. He said, "Catch fire with enthusiasm, and people will come from miles to see you burn." Isn't that true? Isn't that true? Did you know that the highest reported price for a Super Bowl ticket is $17,000? Do you think people are enthusiastic? Maybe so. Maybe so. I didn't buy that ticket, by the way. What amazes me, and what should amaze us when we stop to think about it, if we stop to think about it, is that the church doesn't have to barricade the doors to keep people from stampeding in. Right? Now, some of you are smiling, and some of you are just looking sad. But that's the way it ought to be, right? If the good news is really so good, it should be hard to keep people outside these doors. Now, there have been times, I want you to know, that that really was the case in the church. Really was. Those days may even come again. Who knows? If you're a student of American history, you remember the First and Second Great Awakenings, right, in the 18th and 19th century, when religion spread like wildfire across the United States or the frontiers at that time. The Methodists were in the very front of that movement. People were beating down the doors to get religion, if you can believe that. Couldn't wait to get to church. An earlier example, and one that you may never have heard of, was in the times of the very early church, say around 100, 150, 200 in Rome. Christianity was still not a legal religion. The Romans, in fact, were very liberal. Did you know that? With religion, they had a list of religions that were legal. And if you're on the list, you could worship any way you wanted to. They didn't care. Christianity happened to be an illegal religion. And so you still had to worship in secret. Well, to become a member of the Church of Rome in those early days, a catechumen, that's an adult learner, had to study for an entire year before they could be baptized, kind of like us. But they couldn't hear the Gospels read until after that year of instruction. Now, they'd heard of Jesus, but they couldn't hear the Gospels read. The reason for that was it was thought that they had to get baby food for a while before they could have the rich food, mature food, of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, that practice didn't last for very long. You can imagine why that is. But you would really have to want to be part of the body of Christ to do that, wouldn't you? You'd really have to want to do that. You'd have to really want to be a Christian to be thrown to the lions, right, during the persecutions, or to be boiled in oil or beaten up or whatever cruel thing the Romans thought of. You'd have to really want to be a Christian to live in Iraq right now, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you? Do you know before the invasion, the U.S. invasion in 2003, there were 1.2 million Christians living in Iraq peaceably beside their Muslim brothers and sisters? Do you know that? Today there are less than 400,000 who live in fear of sectarian violence every day of their lives. You'd have to really want to be a Christian to live there, wouldn't you? Really want. And that's the question of the day. That's the question of the day. What are you passionate about as a disciple of Jesus Christ? What is it that turns you on in the church and makes you want to be here? What is it that makes you want to get out there and do something? So excited about your faith that you'll get out of these pews and go out and do something in the world. What is it? What is it? What excites you about being a disciple? Yesterday, you saw my cool t-shirt. That covers up my sermon. I can't do that. Well, you know, yesterday a bunch of us walked in the mall, and I don't think there was a person there who would have said, I'd rather be home sleeping this morning. I'd rather have my day off. I'd rather do this or that. I don't think anybody would have rather been any place else than there doing that. And I know I'm preaching to the choir when I say this, but the people who were there were passionate about what they were doing. It mattered. We knew that the money that was raised counted for something good. And when we walked in that place in our t-shirts or the silly things around our neck, you know, people knew we were doing this for Jesus Christ. And it felt good. And it really mattered for something. People will do great things if they believe, if they're passionate about what they believe. Of course, sometimes, now go ahead and admit it, church bores us to death, right? What is it that bores you about church? Don't say sermons, please. Don't say sermons. What bores you about church? Meetings? Did you ever hear a meeting called the place where ideas go to die? Did you ever hear that? How about money talk? That's all they ever talk about in that church, money. That's all they ever talk about, money. Or the need for new members. Did you ever hear that one? If we don't get some new members in this church, we're going to close the doors because we're going to die. You've heard that one. For ministers, it's reminiscences. People want to tell us about the good old days when everything was perfect in this church. Remember the good old days when everything was perfect in this church? It really wasn't so perfect, was it? But there were some good things about it. Good old days. Christ's church, our church, has got to invest its time, its energy, its human and financial resources in wise ways, in ways that count, in ways that matter. And how do we know? How do we know when we're using our time and energy and gifts in ways that matter? Well, people get excited, and disciples grow in faith. Hungry people get fed, and despairing people find hope. And everywhere you look in the church, Christ is apparent. And you'll find Christ on the face of the person who is sitting next to you. Quick story. Before the fleecing of the flock. I mean, before we receive your tithes, gifts, and offerings. You know, you got to catch on quicker to these things. You know, I'm not going to say it twice. If you have to repeat your joke, it just doesn't work. And if you have to explain your joke, that's the worst thing in the world. Anyway, it's a true story. It's a true story. There was a young man who had no history in the church. And he decided, for whatever reason, he needed to start going to a church. And he found one of these big churches. I don't know if it's a mega church, but a big church, large church. Started attending. And the preacher was a really good preacher, very powerful preacher. And on the first Sunday in the church, the preacher used these words of Jesus from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus said, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them." And the preacher commented, "Even today, this is the work of the Church of Jesus Christ." Well, this young guy was really impressed by that and came back the next three or four Sundays. Each Sunday he tried to see the pastor, who was so busy he never had a moment for him. Finally, he managed to nab him. He grabbed the guy after the service, and he said, "When will it happen?" And the pastor said, "When will what happen?" And he said, "When will the church make the blind see and the lame walk? When will the poor receive good news and the dead rise? Have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning?" Let us pray. O Lord, you are doing amazing things in this place. And you call us to be an amazing people for this community and for this world. Give us strength. Give us courage to take great risks and to be greatly generous, all because you love us with a love beyond all understanding. In the name of Jesus Christ, we offer all our prayers.